Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and a gastronaut. And this episode has been made in partnership with E6. Spain is one of the biggest agricultural markets in the world. According to Food and Wines from Spain, it's the largest exporter of olive oil, with 60% of the EU's production and 45% of the global supply, as well as the third largest for fruit and vegetables and wine. But behind the scenes, it's been rapidly transforming into an agritech powerhouse. In 2022, investment in the Spanish food tech sector reached €268 million, growing by 9.38% in the past year, according to the latest report from E6. The sector is thriving, and from 3D printed meats to nanotechnology, it's increasingly paving the way for innovative solutions to some of the industry's most pressing issues. So the question is, what new developments are coming out of Spain? How could they impact the wider food industry? And how can Spanish innovation help with issues around sustainability? Well, with me to discuss this are three absolutely fantastic guests. Sunil Mattani, International Business Development Manager at Daxa, a leading food ingredients company based in Spain. Hello there, Sunil.
Hello, Stefan, and thanks for having us here today.
It's great to have you. We've also got Maria Naranjo, Agri-Food Industry Director at E6, a public business promoting the internationalization of and investment in Spanish companies. Hello there, Maria.
Hello, Stefan. It's great being with you today, and it's great participating in this podcast. Thank you so much.
It's a great pleasure to have you. And we've also got Alvaro Nadal, head of the Economic and Commercial Office at the UK's Spanish Embassy. Hello there, Alvaro.
Hello, Stefan. And to the rest of the team, hello.
You can probably hear that Alvaro has a fantastic booming voice there, and that's because he's connecting to us from a monastery in the mountains. Now, Alvaro, let's start with you. Spain has a growing reputation in the world of food tech and innovation. The question is, what is behind that success? And just how big a player is Spain in these areas?
Well, I think it's a combination of both tradition and technology. Spain is a very well-known producer. It's, in fact, a food superpower in the world. We have a global share of about 4% of the world food production. It ranks fourth in the EU, just behind the Netherlands, Germany, and France, and seventh worldwide. And has a very rich gastronomic heritage as well, because we need to think about our cuisine when we think about our ingredients. That's very important as well. Taking together all this makes a great base for innovation in food. It is the other point. It is technology that comes here. After centuries producing very good ingredients, very good products, we have, since quite a long time, started to innovate and create new products, going with the most important trends in our markets, which is not only the national market, as you are very aware, but also international markets as well. So it's not surprising that there are a huge number of both public and private initiatives driving development in the sector, many of them being driven by sustainability strategies being adopted and the research for solutions to these millennium's challenges.
Now, the Spanish agri-food sector contributes about 10% of national GDP. I mean, it's hugely important to the Spanish economy. So, Alvaro, with your role at the Spanish Embassy here in the UK, and let's look specifically at the UK, how big a player is Spain when it comes to the agri-food sector here?
Well, Spain is very important for the UK because we are a main supplier. For example, in the case of vegetables and fruits, we are about 40% of what all Brits eat. That's green, more or less. Mm. But we are also top exporter in olive oil. And also, we are second in the supply of cured meats, just behind Germany. We rank third in the supply of wine, just behind France and Italy, just to give some examples. But for us, the UK is very important as well, because the UK is a very demanding market. It's a country that is developing very innovative consumption trends. And the best place to develop those products that go along these trends is the UK, because of its size and the modernity of its demand. So I think it's very symbiotic how this Spain and the UK complement each other, one as providing the new trends in the 21st century and the other being one of the main suppliers for the British consumers.
I know that all of my jamón ibérico comes in straight to my house, straight from Spain. I wouldn't get the German stuff. Maria, what makes Spain such a good breeding ground for food tech? Why is Spain different?
Well, there are several factors that come here and are very important. First to mention the number in our ecosystem, the number of startups participating is quite impressive. We have around 400 startups in our latest report. That's about the same number of startups that are participating in or registered in other countries such as the UK or France, for instance. No? But this is not the only factor. We have many other agents participating in our ecosystem, and all of them very active. For instance, if we want to start in the private sector, we have such interesting initiatives like, for instance, the program Spain Food Tech, that's an initiative promoted by Eatable Adventures, which is an accelerator, and where that we are also backing here in ITEX, and also CNTA, which is also a technological center. And this program is aimed to attracting and promoting startups, not only Spanish, but other countries as well. You were mentioning before jamón ibérico. Well, there's an Argentinian jamón ibérico, well, alternative jamón ibérico producer that is also now based, they were first based in California, and now they are based here, for instance, in Navarra. So this is one just example of this program, no? And there are many other corporates also very well fully involved with open innovation. Nueva Pescanova, CAPSA, Pascual Innovators, the first milk incubator that has been created is here in Spain. So this is also very, very important. Or Europastry, for instance, very powerful, also corporate here in Spain that has created the first hub regarding cereal in innovation. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are also many other technological centers that are also committed with innovation. For instance, Accelerate, that's another technological center, INEAR, that it has more than 18 startups and with an investment over 48 million euros with the Next Generation Funds. And there are many companies participating in this program. And this is just private. Yeah. If we now go to public agents that are also heavily involved with food tech, we can, for instance, talk about two big next generation projects, one in the Ministry of Agriculture and another in the Ministry of Industry, over 2,000 million euros that are devoted to promoting innovation and contributing sustainability, and also regional governments. That's another very interesting way of collaborating in our ecosystem. We have the government of Madrid, but also Ebro Food Valley, for instance, in Aragon and Navarra, that are also involved. And just finishing by ITEX, because I don't want to take too much time, for instance, we have very interesting initiatives that are also aimed to promoting innovation as a factor of differentiating our food industry. We can talk about what is called the SAFIA Food Tech. That's a program that is aimed to accelerating companies in other ecosystems. Right now in the Netherlands, but very soon also in Germany, in the German ecosystem. And I hope very soon, and if Álvaro lets me do so, also in the United Kingdom, because I think the United Kingdom is also a very challenging ecosystem for our food techs and startups.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned earlier that the Spanish food tech sector is attracting quite a lot of investment. Which areas of the sector are seeing the biggest investments?
Well, there are several areas that we could mention. The latest year, for instance, the latest years, the restaurant tech, of course. Mm-hmm. Tourism is a driving force in our country, and restaurant tech has been one of the leading sectors where investment has gone in the last years, but it is not the only sector. We can also talk about also alternative protein, also about traceability. There are very interesting projects related to traceability and also to novel foods. There's such interesting developments regarding new products that will be committed to bringing new ways of using sub-products in our industry. And I want to mention another one where Spain is leader, is number one, is genetics. Animal genetics is also a very important sector where there's big investment going in the last years as well.
Mm-hmm. And what are you actually doing? So what is ESEX doing in order to support and grow investment in Spanish food tech? What practical things are you up to?
Stefan, I like to see ESEX as a catalyzer, as a way of promoting links between different actors in this very thriving ecosystem. That's one thing that we are doing. We are also gathering information and letting the world know how important the commitment with innovation is in our food industry. Alvaro was mentioning that just in his first statement, and that this is also very important. We are also organizing pitches and meetings between our startups and scale-ups with other ecosystems. Israel is a key country, but also Singapore or the United States, Switzerland, Germany, United Kingdom, participating in events like the one that's going to take place in the UK, in London, and where we'll be participating with a big delegation. And also having information available for the rest of the world is one of them. And of course, these immersion programs to make our startups become stronger is one of our leading programs in the last years.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, now, Sunil, let's talk about DAXA, because DAXA also runs an investment program supporting food tech startups. Why are startups important for innovation? Why are they a worthwhile investment and not just a risk?
Absolutely. So just as Maria mentioned, there are plenty of corporates in Spain who are working very closely with startups. She mentioned some of the big names, Pescanova, Capsa, Pascual, Europastry. Even we at DAXA have been quite involved in these kind of investments for good some time now. But first of all, what I would like to address is why we've started our investments in startups, right? Why 5 years back, or a little more than 5 years back, the company decides to go and take this route? And I think that there are two main objectives we actually pursue. One, and first of all, is we can't forget our origins. DAXA is a family-owned business, okay, and we've been in the market for over 50 years, and obviously we do feel extremely grateful to the fact that there have been great companies out there who supported us a lot at specific moments in time, right? Helping us grow, helping us improve, helping us become the company who we are today, right? And just to name a few, companies like Nestlé, Kellogg's, or PepsiCo have been the ones who really believed in us and who've, you know, probably just taken us by the hand and driven us, you know, throughout these years to where we are. And this is exactly the spirit of what we do with our startups and what pushed Taraceli, our CEO, to help entrepreneurs out. For her, it's all about giving back to the ecosystem, what the ecosystem gave us, you know, quite a few years back, helping, sharing with new generation of entrepreneurs all what we have had the opportunity to learn over these years, right? And this has actually become a corporate social responsibility project for the entire organization. Number one would be the responsibility as corporates to help the development of the market, you know, by supporting the new generation of entrepreneurs. Then the second objective, so when we're talking about this, obviously there is no risk involved. It's more about helping, you know, without thinking about a short-term return, but more about what we're building in the long run. The second objective we find in joining forces with startups is the possibility of adding great talent and knowledge to our company. We usually invest in companies whose founders we connect, we believe in, with whom we feel we share the same values we have, and those with whose vision we're aligned, right? So plus projects that where we feel we can add way more than the money we invest, right in them. So we pretty much become, as Maria was explaining beautifully before, an accelerator for their growth, providing them with an entire team of professionals, okay, from quality to food safety to production, R&D, marketing, HR, sales, basically sharing our knowledge, experience, and our network with them, right? So a very good example of this is Simblat. Simblat is a company we invested a little more than 5 years back who work on gluten-free bakery. Okay, when we first invested in Simblat, the company had only 11 workers and the revenues were well below 1 million euros. And today, they've not only moved to a bigger factory, of course, but have 75 workers. They're about to hit 10 million in revenues. They're working with all the main retailers in Spain and Portugal. And this happens because, thanks to our backing, they've been able to grow, to build a higher trust factor with the market, with their customers. And we help them a lot in having a firm business governance with the follow-up reports and meetings we have periodically.
Mm-hmm. And what other companies have benefited from the program so far?
So at this point, we have 11 companies in our portfolio. So basically, just to be a bit clear, we have out of these 11 investments, we have 8 which are directly related to the food industry, okay? But when we're talking, well, actually, all of them are related to the food industry, but 8 of them are actually working on manufacturing new products. So they're absolutely a very interesting source of innovation. And obviously here, there are plenty of things that happen, right? So it's a matter of agility and being able to take faster decisions with companies that have that laser focus on building these new products. Obviously, innovation, but when we talk about innovation, it's about open innovation, right? Which we also add up then with a lot of work we do with tech centers, with universities, suppliers, even our partners. There are plenty of synergies that take place with them because we get to improve our portfolio. Sometimes they manufacture products that then we sell or we include some of their ingredients in further developments. And as we said before, the main key here is bringing in this great talent, you know. So 8 are directly working on manufacturing new products, and 3 others are more tech companies that serve the food industry, right? Mm-hmm. So all of these investments have one thing in common, which is that they have allowed us to reach the market earlier and faster. And some of the companies we've invested in are, for example, Simblat, as I mentioned before, Energy Feelings that have to do with power ingredients, Chickpeas, which is a snack based out of chickpea, roasted chickpeas. Beradenia, they work on, for example, spreads, all vegetarian spreads. Rollito Vegano, they do cold cuts, but all with veg protein. Momus, also in the veg field, but in this case, vegetarian cheese or vegan cheese. And then we also have some investments which are a little risky, let's put it that way, but we believe in the team, we believe in the entrepreneurs and in the problem probably that they're tackling in the market. One of the examples is Feedect, which are working on insect protein. And then from the tech side, we have Vegafinity, which is one of the, I'd say, the number one marketplace of vegan products in Spain. Plant on Demand, which helps also on agriculture precision. And TGI Healthy and Green, which is a platform to increase the influence and impact on projects that have to do with health and sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay, now, I mean, what's interesting here is that these are sectors that are moving pretty fast. Now, Maria, more than half of Spanish startups are now working in new product development and alternative proteins, according to the latest report from ESEX. Now, this is a sector that's marked by sudden shifts, such as, you know, sudden regulatory approval, sudden tech advances. Have you seen any particular major developments in this part of the industry?
Well, yes, this sector is moving so fast and there are very interesting developments. Many of them, it may seem a paradox, but they come from the meat industry that are precisely developing new ways of producing alternative protein. I don't want to miss anything, but I will just highlight some of the very interesting developments we have seen in the market lately. For instance, in high precision fermentation, there are companies, startups like Moa and Leftprot, that are working extremely well, of developments with mycelium, like Innomi. Also, and Sunil was pointing out some of them with analogs, milk analogs like Baca or Momux, that's precisely being invested by DAXA, or by egg analogs as well, like Huevo. That's also very interesting and has participated in this Desafía program I was mentioning. And other developments I would like to mention and to highlight is microencapsulation of ingredients, of bioactive ingredients like NUCAPs, or also using artificial intelligence to produce bioreactors that will really push this industry into the high precision fermentation I was mentioning before with cultivated meat. So all these developments are just taking place now, and they are really pushing and moving the industry forward and being a key factor of differentiation of our food industry.
Now, Alvaro, you're the sort of connection between the Spanish food tech and British demand. What do you think makes Spanish food tech particularly relevant to the UK market? How are Spanish companies helping to meet British demand?
Well, I think the relationship goes both ways. The British market is very demanding, very innovative, and Spanish companies need more partners to develop their products and the innovation, because the national market is not big enough. So you need to look outside. And when you look outside, you need size. So there are many advanced countries, but not the size of the UK, in which things can be developed. Another point is proximity. The UK is close. So food doesn't travel too far, especially good food. That's important. So the UK is a big market, innovative, not inside the EU, very, very close to the EU, and with very, very strong links. That makes us probably the best partners on the supply and the demand side. I could say that the British take care about two things that are very important for Spanish producers. One is health, anything that's healthy and deals to a good product that's a healthy product. And it comes from the freshness of the product. That makes logistics very complicated, and Spanish companies are very strong in logistics as well. Logistics is part, of course, of the food tech, but also with allergens, also with any kind of food to prevent any kind of diseases, whatever it's needed to make people more healthy. And the British are very preoccupied for this. The other point is environment and climate change. And for this, things like the carbon print, it's something very demanded in the UK, not that much in other markets. So it forces Spanish companies to go on that. Circular economy, another very important thing as well. Packages that can be reused. Waste. All these kind of things are very, very important and forcing Spanish companies to enter in a market that is so demanding that at the same time it's helping them for this kind of innovation. So that's why Maria was saying before about the Desafía, the accelerator of food tech companies in the UK. It's something we are taking very seriously, because on the other side, if you want to accelerate, you want a startup to be global, the best place in Europe to that by far is the UK. We know all that, for the financing, the networking, many other things as well. So I think both countries are very, very complementary. Of course, our weather is impossible to beat. You can have very wonderful
if you could just give
technology.
Us some of that would be great.
But combine technology and weather together. Yeah. That makes Spanish as a food superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned circularity in the food industry. Let's talk about a little bit about sustainability. Sunil, one of the food industry's biggest environmental concerns is waste, notoriously hard to tackle. Any innovations in this area that excite you in terms of finding a solution?
Well, absolutely. There are plenty. I think that, as Maria and Alvaro beautifully explained earlier, Spain is a region where food tech is booming and innovation is thriving. So it's actually quite hard to pinpoint one specific startup or area when there is so much going on, right? So what we do see is that as a company, for example, health and sustainability are two of our main drivers. So we're extremely involved in all what has to do with sustainability, and obviously managing waste efficiently has a lot to do with that. No, but I think the first thing that we should address and people should understand is what is really sustainability for us, right? Because I think people sometimes just think about sustainability from an environmental perspective, okay? And yes, we obviously do promote reducing environmental impact, of course, but in a vaster definition or a vision of sustainability, that's just one of the things we work on. We consider sustainability has a lot more to do, a lot to do with, for example, corporate sustainability, doing things that will last in the long run. And we also must be sustainable from a social standpoint, right? So when it comes to waste, what we do is, for example, Dax has been, for example, using the rice husks that we dehull. Okay, we've been using them for over 20 years to burn them and produce energy, sustainable energy, generating 70% of the energy consumption that we have in our production plant in Valencia. Okay, we have projects going on with bioplastics, with flowers that sometimes are part of a co-product or a byproduct rather. And we're trying to use these to make bioplastics, which then end up being like a bag, a sustainable or recyclable bag. We work very closely with investigation centers. And then obviously, one of the main areas that I feel has a lot to do with reducing wastage is all the alternative proteins. Okay, the vegetable protein obviously has a huge impact on the meat industry. Okay, and the meat industry, obviously, there are parts of an animal that, whether we like it or not, unfortunately, have to be wasted. Okay, but I think, for example, Alvaro also mentioned many other things like packaging, circular economy. He mentioned about logistics. Obviously, new formats that are perfectly adapted to customer needs have a lot to do with being able to reduce wastage, tackling the new ways of eating and the new consumer behaviors. Maria did mention, for example, projects that have to do with microencapsulation. And I think this makes a lot of sense with being able to eat what you exactly need to eat with the right number of amount of proteins at each point, you know, in the day. We've seen projects, for example, that have to do with how films can change their colors depending, you know, it's pretty much as if it were like a traffic light. And as you, for example, reach to the end of the shelf life of a product, it is already warning you. So making things a lot more visible for consumers to be able to value and understand and obviously prioritize is key. And obviously also any innovations that have to do with products, natural products, because again, and I think Alvaro did mention this before, consumers are very conscious of what they want to eat. We have to tackle health and sustainability at each and every point of the supply chain. But being able to do it with ingredients, natural ingredients that increase shelf lives will obviously also help tackle this drastic issue of the wastage, right? So we feel that any project that has to do with these areas is obviously an interesting project for us. And we also see a bright future in bioprocesses, definitely.
Okay, fantastic. Now, Maria, coming up in September, Food Matters Live is hosting its very first Sustainable Food Forum, and ESEX is a partner of the event and sending a delegation along, as you mentioned. The event will be a place for international innovators to connect and address the issues affecting the global food industry. Who will be making up the delegation, and what are you most excited about seeing and hearing about?
Well, Stefan, we are so excited about participating in Food Matters Live in September. I was mentioning it in the beginning. And I think we have the best, one of the best presentations of our ecosystem in all the different sort of actors you can imagine. We come along with seven very disruptive startups like Cocus, Bio2Co, Tingredalia, Nucabs, Leftbrot, Cultissime and more. That's on the one hand. And then we also come with a corporate, Daxa. I hope I can see live Sunil there in September. Also,
for sure,
big investor. Yes, that's great. Also an investor, a very important investor, Itabola Adventures. One hub accelerator, which is ETEX, belongs to CNTA, one of the most powerful technological centers, and also a technological center in the Basque Country, ASTI. So as you see, all sorts of members of our ecosystem, of our food tech ecosystem, will be there with us in London in September. And we really are very much looking forward to promoting all these meetings with the British, with the United Kingdom, and with all participants of the rest of the world. We are preparing a full agenda where all these agents can just show and display what are bringing to the food tech ecosystem and to the agri-food industry in general. We also are preparing a specific pitch. We have called it Hola Pitch, where our startups will be able to answer the questions of the public and of the general assistance. So I really want to encourage all the participants in this event to participate and just go to these pitches and ask us as many questions as you want. So this is what I can and see as you can see me, and we are really excited about participating in September with you.
Fantastic. We look forward to it. Okay, so my last question is to everyone, really, and that is, looking ahead, what role do you see Spanish food tech playing in addressing the key challenges facing the future of food? Are there any specifics? I'm after a really specific idea or an issue or a technology, something that will be solved or possibly a technology that will be developed, something that's on the horizon. Sunil, anything that's on your radar?
So we do see that the market is going to focus a lot on bioprocesses and bioproteins. Okay, and that Spain will definitely become a hub for these kind of technologies. When it comes to Spain, what I do see is that I believe innovation exists. There is a lot of innovation. It's soaring, and there could be a lot more. But from a corporate perspective, I think that one of the main challenges we're facing at this point is building more mechanisms and more tools, okay, and creating probably a European framework that allows us to accelerate when it comes to taking decisions, you know. And I think both IFEX, embassies are working massively on being able to provide these tools, these mechanisms, and that this would obviously boost innovation a lot more. And a very clear example is, for example, cultured meat. This is something that has already been approved in Singapore, in the US, but still hasn't reached Europe. You know, and as a European nation, we should be a lot more not only fostering innovation, but making it happen, making it reach the market. So I would address this as one of the main challenges we need to focus on together.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And Maria, the last word goes to you. What are you excited about? New specific issues that can be solved or technologies that are being developed?
Difficult to choose just one single feed, no? Well, Sunil, thank you for giving us a homework to, well, public agents. We need to really work in having a regulatory framework that's also helping and promoting innovation. That's very important. And well, we are almost now ready for general elections, and this regulatory framework will be also a very important issue, I think, to address as public institutions. No? I would say a very important thing from my point of view is the commitment with the reduction of food waste. That's a very important issue, I would say. There are many companies and startups working already, and also corporates. Corporates are extremely conscious of how they need to reduce food waste, and I think this is a very important issue. And I also follow my colleague Alvaro. I think aquaculture, we are extremely strong in this field, and there's so much to do in this point that it would be very important the developments we need to follow on in the next years as well.
Fantastic. Okay, well, it's so exciting to talk to you all, and we look forward to seeing you in September. So Sunil Matani, Maria Naranjo, Alvaro Nadal, thank you all so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Stefan. It has been a great pleasure participating in this podcast. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic.
Absolutely. Pleasure was ours.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Food Matters Live podcast. Now, we'd like you to join us in our new initiative, Sustainable Food Week, where we're celebrating the influential people changing the future of food. There are a number of ways to get involved. We've got a digital digest, an in-person forum, and podcast opportunities. It's happening between the 18th and 24th of September. But if you want to be involved, you need to act now. Find out more on the Food Matters Live website or email us at info@foodmatterslive.com. And thank you so much for listening.